Good morning. Today's daf in Erevin is Mem. We are on Lamed Tes Lamed Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Haru Bar Tavia. Gemara has been discussing Kedusha Achas Shtei Kedushos. Fundamental discussion that comes up over here in the third parak of Erevin. A question of whether or not when you have Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah that are, let's do that again, Shabbos and Yantif. Rosh Hashanah can count as well, but Shabbos and Yantif, which are next to one another, Yom Tov comes out either on a Friday or on a Sunday. So the question becomes whether or not they are Kedusha Achas, that 48-hour period. Is that one unit of Kedusha or is it Shtei Kedushos? Nafka Minah would be whether or not one could set up two separate Erevin, Erevei Tchumim, or can you only set up one Erev Tchum? So this takes us all the way back to the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Lamed Aleph, where the Tanaim debate this very issue. Machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, whether Shtei Kedushos is a Kedusha Achas, as it relates to Yom Tov and Shabbos. So the Gemara's conclusion, Rav's conclusion, was that it's Shtei Kedushos. We pass on like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that takes us back to Daf Lamed Ches. Yesterday's Gemara, Daf Lamed Ches, we discussed the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, same question. Is it Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos? So the Gemara debated this issue as well. The Mishnah debated this issue as well. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so it is Shtei Kedushos, meaning one of those days is Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we're going to be nohag both of those days to be Rosh Hashanah / Yom Tov, but one of those days is going to be Rosh Hashanah. And so, once again, you can set up two separate Eruvei Tchumim. And in the Mishnah, also a number of other nafkaminas as well. A basket of Tevel, two baskets of Tevel. So one can be Mafrish, Trumos and Maitros, from one basket onto the other basket using a Tanai. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, he'll say, if today is Yom Tov, so then obviously I can't be Mafresh Trumos and Maestros today. Hafresh Trumos and Maestros is an Isser de Rabbanan. So then I'll just simply do it tomorrow. And then he'll also say, but if today is Chol and tomorrow is Yom Tov, so then I'm being Mafresh Trumos and Maestros today on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So he's going to make the same tonight. If yesterday was Chol and today is Yom Tov, so then great, so I did it yesterday. If yesterday was Yom Tov and today is Chol, so I'm being Mafresh today. Okay. So that is the Tanai. In fact, at the end of yesterday's daf, that's where we concluded with exactly the formulation of the Tanai. Then another nafkamina, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that you can if an egg is laid on one day of Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah, so then you can eat it on the next day of Rosh Hashanah. Finally, the question of how to daven on this Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, the truth of the matter is the Mishnah has a b'shem Rav Dosa ben Horkanus, but presumably Rav Dosa ben Horkanus is totally in lockstep with the Shita Rav Yehuda that really one of those days is Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we know both of those days to be Rosh Hashanah, but in actuality, one of them. And what's going to be the Nusach HaTfilah? Later this morning, we're going to come back to the Shita of Rav Dosa, and we're going to discuss it in some more detail. Okay? So far, we have in front of us the discussion of Yom Tov Shabbos. That goes back to Lamed Ches. Then we had the discussion of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That's yesterday's Daf Lamed Tes. And now where we begin this morning is going to be a question of the 2 days of Yom Tov of Galios. Right? Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, second day of Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that is discussed in the Gemara Beitza, obviously, for some time. Also discussed in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to be discussing it briefly over here as well. How is that going to be viewed? Is that going to be viewed as Kedusha Achas? Is that going to be viewed as Shtei Kedushos? Now, it would seem to be that there shouldn't be a debate on this issue, and it should be Shtei Kedushos. Because the reason why we are nohag 2 days of Yom Tov is because of Sfeika Diyuma. We don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh when we lived out in the Galus, and as a result of that, so there are two candidates for what Rosh Chodesh could have been. Rosh Chodesh could have been either the 30th or the 31st of the previous month. Therefore, 2 weeks later, 15 days later to be more accurate, so we are going to be now observing either the first day of Sukkot or the first day of Pesach. We do not know which day is the actual day. We're not sure. There are two possible days. So therefore, we're going to be observing 2 days of Yom Tov because of the Sfeika Diyuma. Good. So that means to say that we realize that one of those days should be Yom Tov, but because of our lack of knowledge, so therefore we're going to be observing both those days of Yom Tov. But certainly, however, in that construct we just created, so certainly only one of those days is Kedusha, and therefore in those 2 days are Shtei Kedushas or two separate Kedushas. That could be the argument. That presumably is the argument. However, if you remember the words that we ended off our daf with yesterday, so we ended off with the words of Rabbi Yossi, V'chein haya Rabbi Yossi, Oster b'shtei yamim tov v'shal galios. So at the end of the Braisa that we quoted yesterday, Rav Yossi says that not only can you not do this on Rosh Hashanah, I mean, you can't make a Tanah on Rosh Hashanah, because Rav Yossi views Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaRechta, it's one long day. He says the same thing is true when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni, a standard Yom Tov Sheni, also is going to be considered one long day. Now, that is difficult to understand. Why should that be? Meaning the argument that we just constructed, that Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios really should be Shtei Kedushas, not Kedusha Achas, that's a much more reasonable argument. How could you view a standard Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios as just simply a continuation of the first day? We're observing it because of Seika Diyuma. So, for this, so we turn to Rashi. So Rashi writes over here, and I know this goes back to yesterday's up, but it's an important Rashi. It's critical to understanding Rav Yossi. So Rashi says, Kigon, Rashi dibra amascha v'chenayir Rav Yossi oser b'shnei yamim tov v'shel Galios, Kigon beiz yamim shal Pesach v'aseres v'sukkah shah Torah amra yom echad Shabbaton. So obviously, min haTorah it's one day. Uvagola oser shnei yamim nimishir chokim in beizim v'en yodim im hukvu tishrei v'nisam yom shoshim ob yom lamin aleph. Good. So Rashi here goes back to what we said just moments earlier. We don't know when Rosh Chodesh was. It could have been either the 30 or the 31st day of the previous month. The Avagav de Mishum Safik Bechad Minay Chol Afilachim Machmir Behu Rav Yossi. So even though only one of those days is Kadosh and the other day is Chol, but nevertheless Rav Yossi is Machmir. V'hanach de Rosh Hashanah lo kari lehu shal galios mimnei she'af Yerushalayim pa'amim hayu nasim beiz yamim u'kugon shabau edim in amin chol amala. Now Rashi over here points out that for Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to call that the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, because when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessarily limited to the Galos. In Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be observing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. Anyway, what Rashi is, and the line I want to emphasize here in Rashi, is that despite the fact that it's much more reasonable to argue that Shtei Kedushos, but nevertheless, Rav Yossi just imposed a Chumrah, in which the 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni, meaning Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, are going to be treated like Yom Echad, like Kedusha Achas. It's 1 48-hour period. Okay, and now the question arises, is that something that we subscribe to? And that's where we pick it up from yesterday's daf, Hahu. Hahu bar tivya dasa lebei resh galusa diitzad b'yom tov rishon shel galios. V'i shtachet b'yom tov sheni. So the story goes as follows. There was a deer, and the deer was caught. Rashi says it was caught by non-Jews on the first day of Yom Tov. And since it was trapped on the first day of Yom Tov, we're not allowed to eat it on the first day of Yom Tov. So even though a Jew did not do the malacha, but still, we cannot benefit, enjoy from malachas that we ourselves cannot do on Yom Tov. Trapping is something that you cannot do on Yom Tov. In the third perek of Beitzah, so we're going to be discussing it somewhat more extensively, why are we not allowed to trap on Yom Tov? In other words, isn't there a heter of ochal nefesh? Aren't we allowed to do malachas in order to eat on Yom Tov? So why is trapping prohibited? We're trapping it so that we can eat the animal. So we'll stay tuned. Stay tuned sometime. But in the third parak of Beitzah, we're going to be discussing it. It's right there, that first Mishnah. The Mishnah happens to be Ein Sadin. Anyway, so fine. So it was trapped on the first day of Yom Tov. Now, what happens is that it was shechted on Yom Tov Sheni. So is that going to be fine? So ostensibly, this is going to be contingent on the discussion that we just got done having. So Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda Achlu, so the Amoraim of Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, so they ate the deer that was shechted on Yom Tov Sheni. And Rav Sheshet lo achel, Rav Sheshet did not eat it. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says to my Avid Leila, Rav Sheshet lo achel bisro de tibia. What are we going to be doing with Rav Sheshet? Rav Sheshet right now is being very machmir. He's not eating from the deer. Rav Nachman says, I don't understand. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet, he's there. He's overhearing the conversation. So he says, V'hechi echel, did ni isi. So he says, how can I eat it? So I have a braisa taught by isi, v'amrila, now in another version, isi tani, Rashi says, you're going to read this like a question. Didn't isi teach it the following in a braisa? Anyway, both girsos come out to be the same, which is that Rav Shesha says, I have the following tradition going back from isi, and that is, v'chena yareb yosi, osir shnei yamin tovim shogalios. Look at the braisa that we just got done learning at the end of yesterday's daf. And that is, Rav Yossi says that when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, it's treated just like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, i.e. Kedusha Achas. It's one long 48-hour period. And so therefore, if the animal, if the deer was trapped on the first day of Yom Tov, you can't eat it on the second day of Yom Tov. The second day of Yom Tov is just a continuation of the first day. So I'm a Rav, my kosher. So Rav says, I don't think it's much of a question. Del Mahachi Kamar, I could just simply say as follows. meaning this is how we can read the Braisa. V'chein ha'ya Rav Yossi Oser, b'shnei yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah, b'gola. Okay, so it could very well be that we're just simply going to read into the Braisa, not the word Yantav, but Yantav shel Rosh Hashanah of Gola. And that means to say that the Braisa is only talking about Rosh Hashanah and not your standard Yantav Sheni. So Yahachi shel Galiyof b'gola mi b'ayle. The Gemara says, yeah, but if that were really the way to read the Braisa, so then it should be b'gola, not b'galios. Galios would indicate that we're talking about a standard Yantav. Gola, if it said Gola, so then I could read it as Rosh Hashanah. I'm Ravasi, my kusha do mahachi kamar. So Ravasi says, again, we could read the Braisa, v'chena ye Rav Yossi, ose iser shnei yamim tovim shal galios, ki shnei yamim tovim shal Rosh Hashanah, l'rabbanan desharu. So a way to read the Braisa is that that according to Rav Yossi, the 2 days of Galios is like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, based on the Shita of the Chachamim, who say that's permitted. Okay, now, that is a forced way to read the Braisa. It's not an easy way to read the Braisa, but Rashi over here points out. Rashi, midline, mid-length lines, Rashi, Umutav Letrutze, I'm in the Rashi Amar of Asi, skipping 4 lines down, Umutav Letrutze Hachi Milsa. Look, we're really giving somewhat of a difficult shot in the Braisa, that's true. However, Velonuki Shavishta, Berev Yossi. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to just simply reject the Braisa out of hand. Dekai Malan Rav Yossi Nimuka Imo, because we have a general rule that when you have Rav Yossi espousing a Shita, so that's the Shita that we normally follow. He's super reasonable in terms of his positions. His logic is of the top caliber. And so therefore, normally we follow the Shita Rav Yossi. V'aychumra below Taimahu. And the idea that we're going to be machmer by 2 days of Yantav to treat it like Kedusha Achas, so that's, Rashi describes it as chumra below Taimah. Like we said in the beginning of Shir today, it's much more reasonable to suggest that for a standard Yantav Sheni Shel Galios, it's Shtei Kedushas, it's not Kedusha Achas. Okay, so based on all of the above, so basically the Amarayim, Rav Nachman at the forefront is looking at Rav Sheshes and saying, I don't understand why you're Machmir. There really is no reason to be Machmir. So the Gemara gives us a small little epilogue to all this discussion. We continue in the Gemara. Ashkeche Rav Sheshes Rabba Bar Shmuel Amrlei Tani Mar Midi B'Kedushos. So Rav Sheshes now is talking and learning, and he happens to be speaking to Rabba Bar Shmuel. Question is, do you have anything? Did you come back with anything from the base manager? Shama le tanina. So he says, funny you should ask. Yep, I have the following braisa. Mode Rav Yossi b'shnei yamim tov v'shel galios. Look at that. Rav Yossi is going to agree that when it comes to the shnei yamim tov v'shel galios, that one is in fact allowed. To treat them as shtei kedushos and not kedusha achas. And so therefore, like everything we discussed in the Mishnah, you are allowed to make shtei eruvei tchumen. You're allowed to make it tonight on the kalkala. An egg that's laid on one day, you're allowed to eat the other day. Vechule, vechule. So now Rav Sheshes hears this, and now this, of course, goes against everything that he himself espoused. He thought that Rav Yossi was machmir when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. And meanwhile, the Braisa over here says that Rav Yossi is meiko. So that means that Rav Sheshes himself should have been meiko. And meanwhile, he made a stand right in front of Rav Nachman. And by the way, not only in front of Rav Nachman, the Reish Galusa as well. Right? The story starts off. Ha'u bar tavya da'asa lebe Reish Galusa. So he made a stand in front of Rav Nachman, in front of the Reish Galusa as well. So Amar Leh, so Rav Sheshes now, understandably, is a little bit embarrassed. And he says, Yimishkach lehu, lo tem lehu v'lamidi. So he says, if you see them, so do me a favor, don't share this information with them. In other words, he was embarrassed. And he didn't want this information to be publicized, that really he should have been meiko. Okay. Who didn't he want to know? I mean, he says, don't tell them. It's a pronoun. So Rashi over here, interesting Rashi, because had it not been for Rashi, I would have suggested that what he was embarrassed was, he was embarrassed in front of the Reish Galusa. Meaning, as far as the Reish Galusa is concerned, the Reish Galusa, it's a political position. They're not necessarily holding by the intricacies of the halacha. And so what he didn't want them to know is, he didn't want them to know this other information. Okay, so in other words, he was embarrassed in front of the Reish Galusa. Rashi writes over here, "Imishkachalu, if you find them, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista," meaning he was embarrassed in front of the other Amoraim. Now, it's an interesting Rashi, I would say, because when all said and done, meaning they're holding and learning. And they know that Rav Sheshet had a Masorah. Admittedly, it was an errant Masorah, but Rav Sheshet was based on sources that he thought was correct. So he should be embarrassed. I mean, I guess human nature. Yes, he was embarrassed. I would have suggested that he'd be more embarrassed in front of the Reish Galusa, but anyway, an interesting Rashi. Rashi says that he was embarrassed in front of Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. Okay, continuing now in the Gemara. We are in the bottom of Lamtes Amud Beis, and so far we had a discussion regarding whether or not Yontif Sheni Shel Galios is Kedusha Achas, Shtei Kedushas, your standard two-day Yontifs. So do we treat it as one long 48-hour period, or do we view them as two distinct days? And the Gemara's conclusion seems to be very clear that we view them as two distinct days. Amar Rav Ashi Lididi Amar Li Amemar. Now Rav Ashi says that, look, I got another version of this whole story. I got it from Amemar. It's not exactly the way it was reported. So Ahu Bar Tavia Lavi Tzude Itzadeh, and as far as the deer is concerned, it wasn't that it was trapped on Yontav Rishon, and then it becomes a question of, are we allowed to eat on Yontav Sheni? And as Rashi over here points out, last Rashi in the Amud, because that for sure would be okay. Meaning, that is not even open for a discussion. 2 days of Yontav are Shtei Kedushos. If a malacha is done on day number one by a non-Jew, so for sure you're allowed to benefit from it on day number two. They are for sure Shtei Kedushos. Rashi says that not even a discussion to be had. Where's the discussion to be had? As we now are on the top of Mem Amud Aleph, Michutz L'Tchum Asa. So the discussion is surrounding the fact that it was coming from outside of Tchum. So, the deer comes from outside of Tchum, meaning, and the question was to eat it on that day in which it came from outside of Tchum. So now, what are the positions that are being taken? So we know who is Mekel, who is Machmir. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista were Mekel. Rav Sheshes was Machmir. But now that we have a new version of how the story went, what's the Chumra? What's the Kula? Where does each stand? So Manda Achal Savra Habab Bishul Yisrael Zem Mutal Yisrael Acher. So, having something brought in from outside of Tchum for you, in other words, a non-Jew brought it from outside of Tchum, so if he brought it in for you, so you're not allowed to benefit for it for that day of Yontif. After Yontif, you are allowed to benefit from it, and in just a moment in the Gemara, we're going to establish that you have to wait, Bichtei Shiasa. We're going to get to that in the Gemara. But in the meantime, however, for you, you're not allowed to benefit it. However, others are allowed to benefit from it if it was brought from outside of Tchum. So that is the position of Nachman and Rav Sheshet. For Nachman and Rav Sheshet will argue that it was not that the deer was brought in on Yontif, not for them, but for others, and therefore they're allowed to benefit from it. And then Umandalo Achel, now as far as Rav Sheshet is concerned, and now he didn't eat the deer, so Safar called the Asila Beresh Galusa, Adaiti de Kul Rabban Asa. Something being brought for the Resh Galusa is he's the leader, and so therefore when it's being brought for him, it's really in truth being brought for all the Chachamim, Tamid Chachamim, right? It seems that the Tamid Chachamim were frequenting the house of the Reish Galusa all the time. Maybe the Reish Galusa supported them as well. Unclear about that point. But anyway, you bring something into the Reish Galusa, and with that, you're bringing it really essentially for the Chachamim as well. So Rav Sheshes basically felt like it was being brought for me, and therefore I'm not allowed to benefit from it. Okay, now, I'm sorry, before I comment, let's just read a little bit more. Now, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. What about that back and forth that we just had on the bottom of the previous Amud? Right, the Bach has in the word v'chule. And remember that whole back and forth where they were talking about Yontav Rishon, Yontav Sheni, Shtei Kedushas, Kedusha Achas, meaning that doesn't fit into this version of the story. In this version of the story, the question was not from one day of Yontav to the next. The question was, on that day of Yontif, it just happens to have been that it was brought from outside of Tchum. So the Gemara says, okay, and what we'll have to say is that we're going to have to delete that whole part of the story, meaning that whole part of the story just simply did not take place. Okay, where are we right now in the Gemara? So we're discussing this idea that when something's brought from outside of Tchum, so for the person that's brought for it, it would be Asr, but for everyone else, it would be Mutter. Now, it begs the question, why? Meaning the Gemara doesn't give any explanation as to why that is. Meaning, we know that if you have, generally speaking, a malacha that's done for a Jew, so a Jew is not allowed to benefit from it. But over here, when it's being brought from outside of Tchum, so we're limiting it only to the person that's done for, other people can benefit from it. So over here, the Gemara doesn't explain, and also, to be honest with you, Rashi doesn't explain as well. Rashi writes very little on this particular sugya over here, a short couple of Rashis over here, but not much in terms of explanation. So you go to the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chafei, where the same discussion is brought over there in the Gemara in Beitza. So Rashi over there is a little bit more descriptive. Rashi over there writes effectively that over here bringing something from outside of Tchum is an Isser de Rabbanan, and so therefore the Chachamim were a little bit more makel, meaning that despite the fact that an Isser de Rabbanan was violated, but because it's only an Isser de Rabbanan, so therefore the Chachamim only prohibited for the person that it was brought on behalf of, but not for others. That's Rashi over there in the Gemara Beitza. Next story, how who lifta Dasila Mechuze. So there was a turnip that came to the town of Mechuze, meaning it was brought there on Yontav. Nafak Rava Chazya Dichemisha. So Rava went over there and looked and examined it. Now it's interesting because in a moment we're going to be talking about purchasing it, and that sounds a little bit strange because it sounds like something you're not allowed to do on Yontav. So as we get to the Gemara in Beitza, we're going to see together that making purchases on Yontav for the purposes of Yontav, so that's going to be okay. Obviously, no money can be transferred for that. It's going to be brought on credit, and the balance is going to be settled after Yontif. In the meantime, however, the question became, when was it picked? Was it plucked on Yontif, or was it plucked before Yontif? So if it was plucked on Yontif, so it's going to be a problem. So Rabbi did an examination, and he saw that it was a little bit dry, a little bit old. So Rabbi told the Jews, okay, so we're allowed to purchase these vegetables, these turnips, on Yontif. It wasn't picked today. Amar Havade me esmol nekra. So he says, look, it was picked yesterday. Now, my Amar mechutza l'tchum asya. And Rava says, now, within my psak, I know I'm going to get challenged because there's this possibility that it came from outside of tchum. So the Gemara says, Rava says, that doesn't bother me. Haba b'shul yisrael zem mutal l'achol yisrael acher. V'choshekin ha'da'adaita d'nachrim asa. So Rava says, as far as I'm concerned, that's not going to be a problem at all because we know that when it comes to the issue of having been brought from outside of Tchum, it's only us or for the person that it was brought on behalf of. Over here, we don't even know it was being brought from outside of Tchum, and even if it was, it's only going to be limited to the people that it was brought on behalf of. And over here, by the way, says Rava, it was brought on behalf of the non-Jews. So in other words, it's not a consideration at all. So Kim Dechazika Mafshi Umaisilahu Asalahu. But then, of course, there are the consequences of the psak, which means to say that once Rav issued this psak, so what happened? The Jewish community got super excited, meaning, okay, now we can get these turnips that were shipped in on Yontif, so we can go buy, and the Jews in mass went ahead and bought turnips. On the other hand, when the non-Jews saw this, the distributors saw this, so now they brought in extra turnips, and they brought them on behalf of the Jews. Okay, and so eventually what ended up happening is that Rava had to change the psak because now the reality changed and more turnips were being brought on behalf of the Jewish people. Okay. Hanab Neganana Degazu Lahu Asa Biyam Tov Sheni. The Gemara finishes up all this discussion of Shnei Yam Tov Shogalios with the following story, and that is that Hadassim were cut on Yom Tov Sheni. They were cut by non-Jews. And Laorsa Sharle Ravina La Aruche Beil Alter. And so Ravina says now to the Jewish masses, look, right after Yontif, what we're allowed to do is we're allowed to smell them immediately. So Amale Rava Bar Tachlifa La Ravina Leisa Lu Amar Mimishin and Bnei Torah. So Rava Bar Tachlifa says to Ravina, look, on one hand, I totally understand. It was cut by non-Jews, it was cut on Yontif Sheni. And to benefit from it on the day itself is going to be prohibited. That's a malacha. It's not something we're not allowed to do, even though it's Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni is a din d'rabbanan, but nevertheless, though, we are going to be treating it with all the effects of a din d'oraisa, and so therefore we're not allowed to benefit from it on Yontif itself. But right after Yontif, immediately after Yontif, it's fine. But Rabbi Bar Tachlifa says to Ravina, here's a consideration. The heter that you're giving is to people who are not Bnei Torah. So they don't understand the intricacies of the halacha and the system of how it works. And once you start dispensing kula, so then they're going to be mezalzel on Yontav Sheni in total. So Maskel Rav Shmaya Taima Deinim Bnei Torah, Bnei Torah Shari, V'habinim Bechtei Shiyasu. Now, Rav Shmaya over here is bothered by a detail, but an important detail, and that is that, look, let's say they were Bnei Torah. I don't think the Psak is 100% correct, because you said you're allowed to smell the Hadassim immediately after after Yantiv. It shouldn't be immediately after. There should be a waiting time. There should be a period of what's called Bechtei Shiasa, meaning that we're not allowed to get any benefit from an act that was done on Yantiv itself. And if we were to smell them immediately after Yantiv, so you're benefiting from action that was done on Yantiv. Because without the action done on Yantiv, so then we wouldn't have been able to smell them immediately. We would have taken the time in order to go out to the field and to cut them and to clip them and to bring them back. So by virtue of smelling them immediately after Yantiv, you are benefiting from something that was done on Yantiv. So Azlu Shailu L'Rava Amar Lahu Bina Mechtei Shiasu. So they went in and they asked Rava, and Rava said that's absolutely correct. So you need to wait the period of time, Bechtei Shiasu, the amount of time that it took to get to access the Hadassim, so that you're going to have to put in after Yantiv is over, then and only then you're allowed to benefit from the Hadassim. Okay, so waiting the period of Bechtei Shiasu. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our discussion regarding Kedusha Achar Shtei Kedushos, vis-a-vis malachas that are done, malachas that are performed, the tanai that was made on the basket, a deer that was hunted and trapped on the first day of Yantiv, are we allowed to benefit from it on the second day of Yantiv? Rav Sheshes was machmir, but as the Gemara concluded, the halach is that the 2 days of Yantiv, the 2 days of a standard Yantiv, Pesach, Sukkos, Shavuos, so they're to be treated like Shtei Kedushos, not Kedusha Achas, and with that comes all the allowances that we saw back in the Mishnah on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We're going to continue now. We're going to be talking about Nusach HaTfilah for the remainder of today's daf. We're talking about Nusach HaTfilah. Remember the Shita Rabbi Dos in the Mishnah. Rabbi Dos in the Mishnah says that when the Shliach Tzibur davens for the Amud, how is he going to be davening for the Amud? So what he's going to be saying is that on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save us, assuming that today is in fact Rosh Hashanah. And if it's not, so then I'll come back again tomorrow. Okay, I'm embellishing. I'm not exactly that nusach, but that's the basic idea. And then the next day, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, so he says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save us if today's Rosh Hashanah. And if yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, so then hopefully we're already saved. Okay, so that is the admittedly not so inspirational tefillah and the nusach of Rav Dosa. Now, to give voice to the sheet of Rav Dosa, so obviously what's that issue over here is that he treats the 2 days as Shtei Kedushos, and because they're Shtei Kedushos, so that means that of those 2 days, only one of them is Rosh Hashanah. And so therefore, when davening for the Amud, so we have to be honest. And so even in the tefillah, and even though it's going to certainly take a lot of the inspiration out of the tefillah, but let's be honest, only one of these days is Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we have to be noheg both of them as Rosh Hashanah, because we simply don't know, but only one of those days is Rosh Hashanah. So Amar Rava Ki Avina, and by the way, sorry, before we start with the Gemara, and the Chachamim said no. That, in other words, that's it. At the end of the Mishnah starts off with concludes with the words V'lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. Okay, and now for what's for us to figure out, or for better stated, what the Gemara now is going to figure out is, so when the Chachamim are rejecting Rabbi Dosa, what exactly are they rejecting about Rabbi Dosa? So Rabbi Dosa Amar Avin Lifnei Ateva Amar Rava Ki Avina Bei Rav Huna. We were by the yeshiva of Huna, and he asked us the following question. So, should we be mentioning Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? And it's a really simple question, meaning Rosh Hashanah is two things. Rosh Hashanah is a Yantav and it's Rosh Chodesh. Right? It's the only Rosh Chodesh that is a Yantav, but it's both. The Torah, when giving us the Moados of the course of the year, so it says that on the first day of the seventh month, so that's going to be Yantav, it's Rosh Hashanah. Good. So it's Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. Now, in the Nusach HaTfilah, so should we be acknowledging that's Rosh Chodesh? Or the alternative is that once we mention that's Rosh Hashanah, so it's understood that that Rosh Chodesh is built into Rosh Hashanah, or do we have to expressly state that it's Rosh Hashanah and it's Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara says, Kevin Techalukin b'Musaf and Amrinan. So on one hand, the Musaf that's brought for Rosh Chodesh and the Musaf that's brought for Rosh Hashanah are Chalukin, they're different Karbanos. And so therefore, when davening, so they should be articulated as two separate entities. Odilma, Zikaron Echad, Olakan, or maybe no. Maybe once I mention Rosh Hashanah, that already is Nichlal, that includes already in it Rosh Chodesh. And so therefore, there's no need to mention Rosh Chodesh separately. Amalan Tinisua. So he says, well, let's go back to our Mishnah. It's clear in the Mishnah. So that is Rabbi Dosar Amar Lifnei Teva V'chule. So we go back over the Mishnah. And we just chazed it, so we're not going to chazed it again. But what the proof is coming from is at the end of the Mishnah, where at the end of the Mishnah, after Rav Dosa offers his suggestion in terms of Hanadam for the Amun, the Chachamim simply say no. Now, what are they saying no to? Well, that's the Gemara's next question. My lav lahaskir. So maybe what they were offended by was, if you go back to the Mishnah and you look carefully at what Reb Dosa suggests, he says, "Haklisen Hashem lokeinu es yom rosh chodesh hazeh im hayom im lamachar." So he mentions in the nusach of the tefillah the idea, the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. Oh. And so what the Chachamim are objecting to is the idea that it's Rosh Chodesh. Now, the other way to read the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah is the idea that he says, well, if today is Rosh Chodesh slash Rosh Hashanah, or if tomorrow is, meaning he makes the Tanai in the tefillah itself. Could be that that's what the Chachamim are objecting to. And the Gemara goes over exactly these two possibilities. My lav lahazkir, isn't the objection of the Chachamim to the idea that he's mentioning Rosh Chodesh in addition to Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, lo, lahas knows. No, the objection of the Chachamim is the Tanai that was made by Rebbe Dosa, if today's Rosh Hashanah, if tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. Hachinami Mistaber, the Gemara says, look, this is Mistaber, this really is much more logical that the objection is to the Tanai. Midikani be Brisa, because look, I'll show you a Brisa corroborating our Mishnah, but the Nusach of the Brisa is going to be much clearer about what the objection is about. And Rabbi Dosa would do this on every Rosh Chodesh. So 12 times a year, Rabbi Dosa would do this. Now, what's the this making reference to? So, are we talking about Tanai? So then, good. Meaning, because look, on a two-day Rosh Chodesh, where we don't know which day is Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we're going to be davening, and on 2 days we're going to be saying Nusach of if today's Rosh Chodesh, if tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, so then I can understand how Rabbi Dosa would have such a Nusach 12 times a year on every Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, but what are we talking about? Haskara? Meaning on every other Rosh Chodesh, it's just Rosh Chodesh. There's no Rosh Hashanah. So meaning on every other Rosh Chodesh, of course you're going to mention Rosh Chodesh, and there's nothing else to include it under. There's nothing to subsume it under. So the Gemara says, Ve'alamai lahasna. So the Gemara says, okay. So the issue is Tanai, so lamali lefluge betarte. So the Gemara says, so I'll tell you the issue. The issue is now, is that there's a machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Dosa. Once by Rosh Hashanah, and a second time by every other Rosh Chodesh. That seems to be unnecessary. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, no, it's really necessary. Di'ashmin Rosh Hashanah hava min b'hakam rabban adalo mishum de'asa lezazule bei. So I could have made the following argument. Really, maybe the issue is the issue of Tanai. If the Tanai is made in Rosh Hashanah, so the Chachamim are going to object to that and strongly. Because consider now that we just came home from Shul and we're going over the idea that, hey, you know what the Shliach Tzibur said? He said that today might not be Rosh Hashanah, maybe tomorrow. And so therefore, we're not going to be treating the Yom with the proper Kedusha. But any other Rosh Chodesh, it's not the end of the world. Meaning, if the Shliach Tzibur says, if today's Rosh Chodesh, there's no Ister Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Yes, there's a minhag for women not to do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, but there's no formal Ister Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So there's really no big deal there. I might have thought that the Chachamim would have agreed to the Shita of Rabbi Dosa. And then we're just simply going the other direction. If the machlokes that we had is only by standard Rosh Chodesh, so I might have thought by standard Rosh Chodesh, Rabbi Dosa would be comfortable making a Tanai. But on Rosh Hashanah, if Rabbi Dosa would allow making a Tanai, so then we run into the problem we just described. People coming home from Shul, hey, the Shliach Tzibur said that today may not be Rosh Hashanah. And so maybe Rabbi Dosa would not like the Tanai by Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so both of the points are necessary. The discussion, the debate between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim is all about Tanai, about whether or not the Shliach Tzibur can make the stipulation. But as far as being Mazkir is concerned, that's not what the Chachamim are objecting to. Meitzrei. The Gemara challenges based on the following Braisa. It's a Tosefta. Rosh Hashanah Shechalos B'Shabbos. So when I have Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos coinciding, okay? And as far as timing is concerned, you couldn't ask for better timing. Okay, we are about to enter a Rosh Hashanah that falls down on Shabbos. So Beis Shammai Omri Mispalel Eser, Beis Hillel Omri Mispalel Teisha. So the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what Shemoneh Esrei is going to be made up of. So according to Beis Shammai, it's going to be comprised of 10 brachas, and according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be comprised of 9 brachas. Okay, 10 brachas. Rashi over here writes on the top, Mispalel Eser. So Shalosh Rishonos v'Gimel Achronos v'Shalosh Shabbos ben Bnei Atzma Harei Sheva. So the it's clear from Rashi over here that we're describing Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So it's going to be 10 because three standard first brachas, three standard last brachas, and the Kedushas Hayom in the middle. That's already number that's number 7. 3 plus 3 plus 1. V'Kol Imam Malchios. Also there we're going to add Malchios with that as well. Sare Shmona, and then Zichronos and Shofros. So the and then we're going to add Zichronos and Shofros. So that gets us to a total number of 10. That is according to Shitas Beis Shammai. Meanwhile, according to Beis Hillel, the Musaf of tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, even though it also has Shabbos in it, is still going to be holding by 9. Why? Next Rashi. Beis Hillel Omrim is Palatesha to call Shabbos V'yamta Bebrach Achas. Because what we're going to do is that we're going to take Shabbos, we're going to incorporate it in the bracha of Kedushas Hayom for Yontif, and now V'chosem, and as far as the Chesim is concerned, Mekadesh Shabbos Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. So it's all going to be included, incorporated into one bracha. So what do we have over here? A Brisa that clearly subscribes to this idea that whether or not to be Kolel, to incorporate, to include, is a Machlokas Tanayim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But the Gemara says, I'll tell you the issue. Meaning, what our discussion is a discussion regarding Rosh Chodesh and making mention of Rosh Chodesh. I wonder, says the Gemara, if Beis Shammai is not subscribing to Kolel, so that means to say that every aspect has to be articulated with its own separate bracha. So then we should not only have a separate bracha for Shabbos and for Rosh Hashanah, we should also have a separate bracha for Rosh Chodesh as well. Why don't we have a separate bracha for Rosh Chodesh? Because Beis Shammai says the number is 10. If we're adding another bracha for Rosh Chodesh, the number should be 11. Okay. So, Amar, Rebbe Zera, Shani Rosh Chodesh, Mitoch Shekolo, Shachris, V'Arvis, Kolo Nami, Bemusafim. So, Rebbe Zera says, look, as far as this particular point is concerned, Rebbe Zera says, I don't think it is a convincing point. Because consider that when it comes to Shachris and Maariv, meaning any other tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. So as far as inclusion is concerned, so you're not going to be making a special bracha for Rosh Chodesh. Look, you standard Rosh Chodesh. So the Rosh Chodesh is going to be added in Ritzei, in Modim. So you see over here that we don't have an independent bracha for Rosh Chodesh. So even according to Shitas Beis Shammai, who articulates every aspect with its own separate bracha, but you could make the argument that you're going to make reference to Rosh Chodesh, it just doesn't need its own separate bracha. The Gemara says, now wait one second. So you're saying that according to Beis Shammai, so you can have this idea of incorporation. V'atayin will learn from the following verse, the Rosh Chodesh Shechalos B'Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos coincide, Beis Shammai Omrim Mishpalol Shmono V'Yisrael Omrim Mishpalol Sheva. So here in the Brisa, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, and that's it. It's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. There's no Rosh Hashanah involved. And according to Beis Shammai, so it's going to be 8 brachas, meaning Rosh Chodesh gets its own separate bracha. Now that becomes problematic because we just got done saying that for Rosh Chodesh alone, we wouldn't be adding a separate bracha because we just simply add it in general with Ritzei, same thing over here. And meanwhile, over here, we find that in this brisa just quoted, Beis Shammai says that you're actually going to make an independent bracha for the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. So, Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, that's difficult. Okay, so to the question of whether or not Rosh Chodesh should be mentioned on Rosh Hashanah, so the Gemara says that could be an understanding of the Machlokas in the Mishnah going back to Lamed Tesem and Aleph. Rabbi Dosa says, Rabbi Dosa had his controversial Nusach HaTfilah. The Chachamim dismissed it. They objected to it. And the question is, what was the objection? So the issue, one issue could be Tanai, the fact that the Shliach Tzibur is saying that today might not be Rosh Hashanah. Or the other issue is, the objection is to the fact that you're mentioning Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the Chachamim are objecting to. So on the back and forth over here, it's not clear, not perfectly clear what exactly the objection was. But the Gemara says it's much more reasonable to argue that the objection was Tanai, not necessarily to the idea that he said Rosh Chodesh, even though the Gemara concluded that you don't mention Rosh Chodesh in your Rosh Hashanah tefillah. It's incorporated, it's included within the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah. Continuing in the Gemara, when Meman Amud Beis Vekola Atzmo Tanaihi, this idea of incorporation, of incorporating multiple ideas within one brachas, Machlokas Tanaim D'Tanya. Gemara quotes, Shabbos, Shechal, Yoz, Berosh, Chodesh, Ob, Cholosh, Amoed. So when I have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos, Chol Amoed, so Arvishachos, Mincham, Espal, Kedark, or Sheba, Vomer, Menam, or Abavoda, it's going to be a regular Shabbos davening, and as far as Rosh Chodesh is concerned, you put it into your Yalav Yavo, into your Ritzay, like we do on every Rosh Chodesh, and every Chol Amoed. So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Bavoda. Now Rabbi Eliezer just argues in terms of placement. He just simply says that instead of putting it in Ritzay, you put it in Modim. The im lo amar machzir nosa. Now, if you fail to say yalav yavos, you have to go back and you have to repeat your shmoneh esrei. Uvim musafim. Now, when it comes to musaf, so what do you do during the musaf of your Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Maskel b'shal Shabbos, mesayim b'shal Shabbos, v'amar kedushas hayom b'emsa. So, according to the Tanakama, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing incorporation. We're going to be kola, meaning to say that it's one central bracha in the middle, and as far as inclusion of Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh will be incorporated within that bracha. Now, right? Hopefully, we all know that's exactly what we do. Meaning, it's the entire nusach of that central bracha is going to be reformulated, but it's all based on the principle of kolal, of incorporation. We're taking Shabbos from Rosh Chodesh and we are folding it into one bracha, one central bracha of the musaf. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brocha, Omrim, Kol Makom Shezakuk L'Sheva, Maskel B'Shal Shabbos, Mesayim B'Shal Shabbos, V'Amar Kedushas Hayom Be'Emsa. So any time that you have seven brachas, meaning your standard Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, so you start with Shabbos, you end with Shabbos, and Kedushas Hayom, you're going to be saying Be'Emsa, meaning it's not just going to be limited to Musaf, but according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brocha, it's going to be by every and all of the tefillos, by Shacharis and Maariv as well. So, the Gemara points out that whether or not one can be kolal by a standard Shmoneh Esrei, so that's going to be subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. My Havi Allah, the Gemara says, okay, let's try to conclude on this matter. Amar Rav Chista Zichron Echad Ola Lokan Ulakan, Vechena Maraba Zichron Echad Ola Lokan Ulakan. The Mai Havila, the Gemara's question of what is the halacha, is going back to the question of whether or not we say Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara's conclusion is, no need. Once you mention that it's Rosh Hashanah, included in the mentioning of Rosh Hashanah is the idea that it is in fact Rosh Chodesh. We continue in the Gemara, we're on Mem Amud Beis, we are at the two dots. V'ama Rav ki avina bei Rav Huna ibaylan. So Rav says, okay, and we were by Rav Huna, we asked him another question, and here's another discussion that we had. So, do we say Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah? Do we say Shechianu on Yom Kippur? Again, timing could not be any better. Okay, so tonight we come home, we say Kiddush, so are we going to be making the Brach of Shechianu? So hopefully at this point in time you already know the answer, but the Gemara discusses, which means that it wasn't super clear at this point whether or not definitively one should be saying a Shechianu. So Kevan, what are the arguments the Gemara here articulates? Kevan the Mizman Lizman Asay Amrinan. So look, Rosh Hashanah comes once a year, and so therefore it's a time where we should be saying Shechianu. Right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for allowing us to make it to this Rosh Hashanah. So Odama Kevan Delo Ikra Regalam Lo Amrinan. Or maybe it's not a regal, it's not a yantif, meaning on the regalam, so there's this idea of simcha. And so that simcha is expressed with the bracha of Shechianu, but over here we are. It's obviously it's an Isra Malacha, but it's not a yantav in the sense of simcha, and so therefore maybe we shouldn't be saying a Shechianu. So lo have a biyadei. So unclear in terms of which is the dominant argument. Ki also be Rav Yehuda Amar Ana Akra Chadata Nami Amina Zman. So he says, look. When I eat, Rashi over here, so interesting, right? Rashi writes, Kesheni ro'eh delas chadasha, mishana shana, amin en zman. So Rashi over here says that it's when he sees a new fruit. Okay, it's an interesting Rashi. Normally we assume that when you're eating a new fruit, but anyway, when I see a new fruit, literally a gourd, so then I'm going to be making a shechianu. So Rosh Hashanah can be no worse. So Amar Lei says, what kind of argument is that? Look, eating a new fruit, that's not an obligation. If you're eating a new fruit, so you're going to be making a Shechianu. So as far as Rishus is concerned, as far as option is concerned, I'm not asking. I want to know, is there an obligation to make a Shechianu Rosh Hashanah? That's the question, and that is left right now unanswered. Amar Lei, Rav Ushmol Da'amri Tavayu. So he says, look, here's what Rav and Shmuel say. Ein omer zman ela b'shalosh regalim. So their position is that Shechianu is only limited to regal, to yantiv, meaning Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, and that's it. That is not the end of the story, as you can already guess and gather. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges on based on the following brisa. Tein chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmona. Pasuk in Kohelis, speaking about the significance of 7 and 8. Rabbi Eliezer omer shiva yimei breisha shmona ela. Now, as far as pshat over here, so in one approach, Rabbi Eliezer's approach, so the 7 is a reference to the 7 days of creation, 8 is a reference to the 8 days of Amila. We will understand this better a little bit later on, when we'll come back to it tomorrow. But Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Sheva Elo, Sheva Yimei Pesach, Shmona Elo, Shmona Yimei HaChag, Ukusha Omer, Vigam, so over here in this pasuk, how to properly darshan the pasuk to Kohelis. 7 is a reference to Pesach. 8 is a reference to Sukkos. Now, Ukishomer Vigam. Now, when it says, and also, so the Rabbah Sateros, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, so that now includes Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. So basically, we have now a Pasuk in Kohelis, which we know, according to Rabbi Yoshua, is describing Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. My love, Lizman. Now, that's all Rabbi Yoshua says. Now, what is he saying it regarding? What halacha is he describing over here? Presumably, he's describing the halacha of Shechianu, that you have to make a Shechianu on all these occasions. Lo, levracha. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe over here, the issue is whether or not you make a bracha, meaning when you're davening and you're incorporating the bracha of the yom. So you say, Mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim. And on each one of these days, you're going to be saying, Mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim. Right? On Chol HaMoed, parenthetically, obviously, not on the Shachris Shmoneh Esrei, but certainly in the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei, so Mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim. So, Hachinami Mistarba Disa Kadach Lizman, Zman Kol Shiva Mi'ika. Gemara says, I'll tell you, that's a better pshat. Because let's go back to your suggestion that we were talking about Shechianu. You're not saying a Shechianu on all 7 days of Pesach. You're not saying a Shechianu on all 8 days of Sukkos. You say a Shechianu at the beginning of Pesach, at the beginning of Sukkos. So, to which the Gemara says, so therefore, the pshat of making a bracha is a better pshat than that of Shechianu. So, halokasha, the Gemara says, no, I don't think it's a good question, but it's not an absolute question. It doesn't knock us out. Because we could say that we're talking about Shechianu. And admittedly, you only make one Shechianu on Pesach and one Shechianu on Sukkos. But, Ilam Avarcha, Ilam Avarch Lamachar, Uliyam Uchra. So the Gemara says, but we know that if you didn't say Shechianu for whatever reason on day one of Pesach, so you make a Shechianu on the second day of Pesach. And the same thing for Sukkos as well. So at least each one of the days of Pesach and Sukkos, at least is a possibility that you're going to be making a Shechianu and not all the days, but any of those days. So Mekomakom Inan Kos. So the Gemara says, okay, don't we need a cup of wine? So the proof is not an absolute proof. Lema Mesaila Rav Nachman, Dam Rav Nachman's man, Omrim Afila B'shok. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe you don't need a cup of wine. In other words, it happens to be the position of Rav Nachman is that you could say Shechianu even if you're out in the market, meaning even if you don't have a cup of wine in front of you. Halo kashi di ikla le kos. So the Gemara says, okay, let's say you do need a cup of wine. So it happens to be you have a cup of wine and you're making the Shechianu with a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, okay, I can understand now Shechianu with a cup of wine on every Yom Tov except, of course, for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you cannot make Shechianu on a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, because consider, what are we going to do now? We're going to make a Shechianu on a cup of wine going into Yom Kippur. The moment you make the Shechianu, that's acknowledging that it is Yom Kippur. Once it is Yom Kippur, there's an Isra of Achila, so, and then you can't drink the wine. So you are going to be stuck. So the... So he says, did you stop in terms of accepting Yom Kippur upon yourself? And he says, yes. The Rashi over here gives us the background to this particular incident. Rashi mi badalta pamachas. Rashi writes, niskashru shamayim ba'avim vispala rav shal shabbos mi ba'od yom. So it was very cloudy, and it looked like it was already nighttime. And what Rav did is that he davened Maariv, And meanwhile, it was still daytime. And then what Rav Yirmi asked Rav is did you stop from doing malacha? I mean, did you accept Shabbos? And he says, yes, I accept upon myself Shabbos. Fine. Back to the Gemara. Livra chalav v'lanche. So he says, well, if that's true, so then what you should do is you should make Kiddush. So he says, no. He says, I'm a varch tzarech shiyitom. So the Gemara says, well, no, I can't do that because then I would have to drink, and right now I'm not ready to do so. So the Gemara says, leis ve leyinuka. So the Gemara says, well, why don't you give it to a kid? So the Gemara says, no, leis tochasa kerev acha. He says, no, I'm not going to give it to the kid. Dilma asi lemisrach. Because what's going to end up happening is that once you give it to the kid, so he's going to get used to drinking, and he's going to think to himself, oh, I see, it comes out now that Yom Kippur, we're going to be making a Shechianu on a cup of wine, and we're going to, and you drink the cup of wine, and once the kid gets into this habit, so it's going to turn into a moment of education, but not good education, just the opposite, bad education. So, my Havi Allah. So, the Gemara's question now comes around full circle. So, our question started off, do you say Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, you also are saddled with the other issue of, is that we just said that when you make Shechianu, so there is this requirement to say it over a cup of wine, and on Yom Kippur, that's going to be an issue, and the Gemara didn't really solve for that issue. So, are we going to be saying a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur? And also, just a reminder, that it was the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. No, Rav and Shmuel say that Shechianu are said only on the Shalosh Regalim, and that's it. So, Shadur Rabban Rav Yemar, Saba Kamei de Rav Chista, Bemala Yuma, De Rei Shasa, Amar Lei Zil Chazi Hechi Avid, Uvda. So he says, look, let's send out some messengers. Let's go do some research. So messengers were sent in front of Rav Chista, and it happened to have been on Rosh Hashanah. Again, the timing of today's daf is amazing. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Amar Lei, and he says to him, so go see exactly what they're doing. So Ta Eimalan Ki Chazia Amar. I'm sorry, Ta Eimalan. And then what you do is you come back over here and you report to us what you saw. So Ki Chazia. So now when Rav Chista saw that he was being observed, so Rav Chista realizes I'm being observed. So Amar Lei Dilu L'Retiva Rafsa Lei Beduchte. So he says it's an expression. A person picks up a wet log. So what are you doing when you're picking up a wet log? You don't want the wet log. It's not helpful to you. What you want to do is you want to see underneath. So I see these emissaries over here coming and observing me. So I see that really what they want to do is they want to observe me. So Isolei Kasat Dechamer Kaddish V'Amer Zman. And so therefore he made sure that he was very clear. He took up a cup of wine and he made a Shechianu. Ve'ochus Amer Zman Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippur and Ve'ochus Zman Amer Mafila B'Shok. And so the Gemara now arrives at conclusion at all of this. One is that we're making a Shechianu Rosh Hashanah, we're making a Shechianu Yom Kippur. Two, the Shechianu we're going to be making on Yom Kippur is going to be sans a cup of wine. You can make it afilu b'shuk. V'chein hilchasa, that in fact is the halacha. Let us quickly recap our daf today. We started off today by discussing the Yantav Sheni Shel Galios, whether it's Kedusha Achas, or whether it's Shtei Kedushos. It is the most reasonable argument to say that Shtei Kedushos. However, if Sheshes had a tradition that according to Rav Yossi, it's Kedusha Achas, it's in fact one Kedusha. And therefore, for a deer that was trapped on the first day of Yontav, he would not eat it on the second day of Yontav. Meanwhile, the other Amoraim disagreed. The other Amoraim said that it is Shtei Kedushos, Rav Nachman at the forefront, saying that the 2 days of Yantav Sheni Shel Galios, Yantav Rishon and Yantav Sheni of Galios are in fact two days of Kedusha, and that seems to be the Gemara's very clear conclusion. In fact, there was a brisa that was brought to Rav Sheshes that said that even Rav Yossi agrees with this position, that they are two distinct days of Kedusha and not one long day. In another version of this dialogue back and forth between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman about what they were arguing about, as we turn to the top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, so they were arguing about a deer that was brought in outside of Tchum, and it was brought for the Reish Galusa from outside of Tchum, and then the question of, we'll start with the halacha, that when something is brought from outside of Tchum by a non-Jew, so it can be benefited for everybody other than the person that was brought on behalf of. So that's the halacha, and then the debate between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes is that because it was brought for the Reish Galusa, does that also include the Talmidei Chachamim as well that eat by the Reish Galusa? That was the back and forth between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, and it had nothing to do with the two-day Yantif. Another aspect of this idea of being brought from outside of Tchum, so turnips were brought into town. They asked Rava, can we purchase the turnips? Rava investigated the turnips, saw they were older. They weren't picked today. They were picked before Yantif. So he says, yes, you're allowed to buy them on Yantif. And if the only concern is that it was brought outside from Tchum, Rava says it was brought for the Goyim, it wasn't brought for us, it's totally fine. But then, once the Jews started purchasing it, so then they saw that there would be a demand for turnips, so the more turnips were brought on behalf of the Jews, and then Rava had to change his psak. And one last small point that we covered on Mem Amud Aleph, before getting to our big topic, and that is the hadassim that were cut on Yom Tov Sheni. Hadassim which were cut on Yom Tov Sheni, so the psak was given that you're allowed to smell them immediately after Yom Tov. And there's two issues that were taken into consideration. He was poskening for a community that were not B'nai Torah, and so he was cautioned. If you do that, they're going to be even more lax in Yom Tov Sheni. And furthermore, the other issue is, don't you have to wait, even if they were B'nai Torah, don't you have to wait for Bichtei Shi'asa, the amount of time that it would take to do the malacha? Therefore, those were two considerations, and yes, you do have to wait for Bichtei Shi'asa. Rebbe Dosa, and his Nusach HaTfilah on Rosh Hashanah, and the Chachamim's objection. So that became a big discussion here in today's daf, starting on Mem Amud Alpha in the middle, and going well into Mem Amud Beis. And the Gemara's conclusion is that the Chachamim objected to the idea of Tanai, that when you get up there in Rosh Hashanah and you start saying, if today's Rosh Hashanah, if tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, so the Chachamim objected to that. Now, parenthetically, by the way, we didn't really articulate this well. Why did the Chachamim object to Tanai? So there could be really two fundamental reasons. One is because the Chachamim feels Kedusha Achas. If it's Kedusha Achas, then there's no room to even make it tonight. Or they could be objecting because even if it's Shtei Kedushos, but this is not information that should be broadcasted during Chazar Sashat, if today is Rosh Hashanah or if tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, because like we said earlier, if you do that, really people are going to not be particularly careful about violating Malachas if they know that it's a suffix as to whether it's Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Another discussion to be had in terms of mentioning Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Do you mention it? Or is just simply the mention of Rosh Hashanah going to be sufficient? And does that include Rosh Chodesh as well? The question of Kolel, a discussion that is had, a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and another Machlokas Tanaim as well in terms of what happens when Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos coincide, what happens when Chol HaMoed and Shabbos coincide, in terms of the idea of being Kolel. And our last discussion of today on Mem Amud Beis is the question of whether or not Shechianu is going to be said on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. On Yom Tov, Shechianu is for sure going to be said. The Gemara does not articulate why, but presumably the issue is Simcha, meaning on Yom Tov there's Simcha, Shechianu is said out of joy, so therefore it is said on Yom Tov. The question becomes, do we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And Yom Kippur has its own complication because Yom Kippur, of course, if you were to say the Shechianu, and Shechianu requires a cup, and you were to drink it, so then you'd be violating Inu Yom Kippur. So that's the question. Conclusion of the Gemara is that we do say Shechianu Rosh Hashanah, and we say it in Yom Kippur as well, and on Yom Kippur, obviously, we say it without a kos.